All right, we're down the bottom of Mem Beis. We didn't finish this today. You boil the hoo. Yeah? So the question was, we're talking about what's the status of this Eved when he's in between, sort of free, but he still needs the piece of paper. Is the question is, Yiboy lehu ma'ukav get shichur, if he's waiting for the paperwork to come through, is he oichel betrumoy eina oichel? Is he allowed to eat truma? Let's say he's an Eved of a koyin. Is he allowed to eat truma at that point? Or is he not allowed to? Do we say kinyan kaspi am rachmona v'haylav kinyan kaspi hu? Does it have to be someone who is his property? He's acquired by his money, literally. And this guy, because he's yotzei l'cheiros, let's say a mafkir avda yotzei l'cheiros, right? So he's not his kinyan kaspi anymore, and therefore he shouldn't be allowed to eat truma. Oidilma, or do we say kevan de mechusa get shichur, since he hasn't got the paperwork yet, kinyan kaspi kavinim, but we would still call him on the definition of kinyan kaspi. So what's the deal? Toshama to Amar of Mesharsha. You have this situation of a kohenes chenis arei vlada bevlad shivchasa. You have a wife of a kohen who gave birth, and in the hospital they mixed up her baby with the baby of her maid. Her shivcha knanis also gave birth, and the hospital mixed up the babies, and now you got two babies. You don't know which one's which. So one is a kohen, and one is an eved of a kohen. So both of them are allowed to eat truma. One because it's a koyin, the other one because it's an eved of a koyin. It's a re'elo echlem b'truma. So therefore they can both eat truma. That's for sure. What about actually collecting truma from people? Yeah. So we don't know which one is the koyin. An eved is allowed to eat truma, but he's not entitled to collect it. Whereas if the koyin is entitled to collect it. So what do they do? V'chilkin chelek echad al hagoyrin. They can go together and get one chelek. If they both go together, one of them is for sure a koyin. So they come together and they say, whichever one of us is a koyin, give us the portion of truma, and then they eat it together. Higdilu ataruvus. Then what happens when they grow up? So now when they grow up, they have each one is a sofik. Maybe he's a slave. So that's not a good way to go through life. So therefore, meshacharin zezer. Therefore, each one emancipates the other one. One of them is the owner and the other one is the slave. And they don't know which one, so they both emancipate each other. And they say, if I'm the owner, you're free. And then if I'm the owner, you're free.
Then theoretically, neither of them can eat truma anymore.
Correct. Not theoretically, practically. Yeah. They can't eat truma anymore because now each one may be a koyim, maybe not. So there's no truma. But what do we see from all that? That kol zman, even though we know that they're in a situation where they're going to get to a point where they are to be freed, but they haven't done it yet. They haven't got the paperwork yet, so they're still eating truma. Kol zman, they haven't gone through the formality of being mashachar each other. Then they don't eat. Then they're allowed to eat truma. So it seems to imply that they can eat truma while they're in the limbo state. So the Gemara says back, "What are you talking about? Hochi hashta? How could you compare these two things? Hossam, when you have two people, one of them is the Kohen and one's the Eved of the Kohen, and you just don't know which one's which. So what are you telling me? That the Eved, whichever one is the Eved, is allowed to eat truma, calls money, hasn't got the piece of paper. That's because he's really an Eved. It's not that he's Yotzel Acheris waiting for paperwork. He's really an Eved. You just don't know which one he is. If Eliyonavi would come and tell you which one, you know, if the hospital would do a DNA test and suddenly work out which one, then you would say, yes, he's the Eved. Kinyan Kasper Karinumbe. He's 100% Eved. He's not a in limbo Eved. He's a real Eved. Hacha, but over here, when he's in a situation where the halacha is Yotzel Acheirus, Lav Kinyan, just he needs the piece of paper, but he's Yotzel Acheirus already. He's Lav Kinyan Kasper Klal. He's not Kinyan Kasper at all. And therefore, you cannot prove from the other case that he would be allowed to eat truma. All right, so we leave that question and we go on to the next question. Iboy lahu, Eved Shemachre Rabbe Liknas. If the owner sells the slave, he doesn't sell the whole slave, the principal, the goof of the slave. He sells the rights to the knas, that if the Eved will get gored by the ox, yeah, then the knas that will be the $30 that the Baal HaShoir has to pay, that those rights he's on selling, you know, it's like a futures
speculation,
contract. Speculation.
He must be a desperate buyer.
He sells the rights to the, on the slave goring market. he sells the rights to the knas. Is mocher ein mocher? Does that work or not? Can you sell such rights? Is there, you know, can you have such a market? Is the question is what? Why not? Because it doesn't exist. What are you doing? Talk about speculative. If the ever gets gored, you'll be entitled to the knas. So meanwhile, pay me buy an option up the front.
10%.
So the question. So we know there's an argument about whether bechlal you can sell things that don't exist yet that are going to exist later. This question can exist regardless of whether you hold like Rav Meir and the Rabbanon. What's Rav Meir and the Rabbanon? It's Tiboy the Rav Meir. First of all, according to Rav Meir says that you can make a deal on something that doesn't exist yet. You can do a futures contract, yeah? It's Adkan Loikama Rav Meir, Odom Makna Dovash Loi Bola Olam. Only up to the point, when does Rav Meir say that you can make a deal on something that doesn't exist yet, a transaction? El look again, Peris Dekel. Let's say the fruit of the tree, yeah? So you get fruit futures on the apple, on the apple market, yeah?
Date.
What? The date market, yeah. So there, you can do that. But why can you do that, says Rav Meir? Because the avidi, the osu.
It's the normal thing.
Because the normal thing is going to come, right? You've got an apple tree standing there. It's going to grow apples, like, you know, in the normal course of events, it's going to grow apples. So if you purchase the apples before they've actually grown, Rav Meir says that works because the tree is there. The apples are going to come. So you can purchase the rights to the apples. Aval hacha, but over here you're trying to sell the rights to a gourd eved. Mi yema de mingach. Who says it's going to get gourd altogether? Vim tim tzalema de mingach. And even if it does get gourd, mi mai de mishalim. Who says the owner of the ox is going to pay? Dilma, top of the page. Dilma mai de mifter. Because it's a knas, the din is mai de b'knas potter. When does he pay a knas? If you take him to court and you get him losing the case, then he has to pay the knas. But what if he quickly goes and admits, yes, my ox gored him, sorry about that, chief. Yeah, well, they don't pay any damages, and he's potter from the knas. Because that's the dual of knas. Yeah, if it's momoin, if it's a monetary thing that he owes money, then it doesn't matter whether you admit it, you don't admit you have to pay. Yeah, but if it's a fine, it's like, you know, you get off, you write an apology letter, and you get off the fine. So therefore, we just went up to the top of the next page. 43A1. So then he says, so therefore, it could be that even Rav Meir will agree in this case that you cannot sell the rights to the gore money. Yeah? So that would be on the one hand. And then the other converse side of the picture is Tiboy the Rabbanon. You can ask the same question according to the Chachamim. The Chachamim say you cannot make a transaction on something that doesn't exist yet. Yeah, so therefore you might have thought, well, obviously, therefore you can't make a transaction on the gourd eved. Says the Gemara, Tiboy the Rabbanon, you can still ask the question, because how can they come here, Rabbanon, and when did the rabbis say that you cannot make a transaction on something that doesn't exist yet? El the goyim peiris dekel. That same argument they had with Rav Meir is about the fruit of the tree, the hashtam yolesno. The fruit doesn't exist. Yeah, so you need an object in order for that transaction to take place. You need an object that currently doesn't exist. The tree exists, but the fruit don't exist. Yeah, so there has to be like a yesh me'ayin. There has to be a new object has to exist in order for that transaction to take place. Aval hacha, but over here, forget to get the goring money of the eved. You don't need any new objects. You don't need a bria yesh me'ayin. All you need is the ox and the eved should get together somehow. Yeah, hakoyshur, the ox is standing there, vakoyeved, and the eved is standing there. So you don't need any creation of a new entity. All you need is that the ox should get angry at the guy. And
there are auction in this town, and we know that there's this eved.
The eved's here, and the ox is there.
Introduce the eved to the ox.
You know, wave the red flag, and away you go.
So, for Rabbanon, you'd be able to sell fruit that's just started budding.
Yeah, then it's not low boloilum. Yeah. So that's the question. It's my. So what's the answer? Omer Rab Abba, Toshamar. Rab Abba says, come and listen. It says, we have a Bryce. The Pasuk says that who gets to eat truma? It talks about Yelid Beisoy and Kinyan Kaspoy. So Kinyan Kaspoy means the Kayan bought somebody. This is talking about truma, but we're going to extrapolate it back to the Knas. Yeah, so Kinyan Kaspoy, so Yelid Beisoy means he was born into the house of a Kayan. And Kinyan Kaspa means the Kayan bought him. So if the Kayan owns a slave, he's allowed to eat Truma, and it's either way, whether he bought him and he became a slave of a Kayan, or he was born, so there was a maid who belonged to the Kohen, okay, and she had a baby, so that son is now an Eved for the Kohen also. So either way, so it says, Yelid Bais, if he's born in the Kohen's house, he can eat Truma. And so the Gemara, so the Bryce says, Matam Alema, why does the Torah have to tell you that if he's born in the Kohen's house, he can eat Truma? Ezim Kinyan Kaspa Yechel, if even he, when he wasn't born in a Kohen's house, he was off in the streets, and the Kohen buys him. So yesterday he was not allowed to eat Truma. And now the Kohen purchases him on the slave market. He is allowed to eat Truma. Is Yelid Bais like Kol Shekein? If he lived his whole life, he was born already as the owner, as the property of a Kohen, is how much more so he can eat Truma? So the Torah doesn't need to tell me Yelid Bais. So the Gemara says, why does it need to tell you? While Ilu Kain, if it would only just say about the one who was purchased, I would have said, Ma Kinyan Kesef, that the rules for one who was born as an Eved Koyin is the same as the one who was purchased as an Eved Koyin. Ma Kinyan Kesef Sheyesh Peshava Kesef. When you talk about something that's purchased value of money, he has to be worth something, otherwise there's no purchasing going on. So he has to be a slave who has some monetary value. Is Oichel, that's the one who eats Truma. Is Af Yelid Bayis, so similarly the case of the one who was born as a slave of a Koyin, Sheyesh Peshava Kesef, he has to be... When he is worth something, he's got some value, is Oichel, that's when he eats Truma. What about if he's a Kohen? What about if he's some kind of a useless thing, is physically disabled, whatever it is, and he's got no value whatsoever? Minayin Shafal Pishein is Shavaklum. If someone who was born as a slave of a Kohen, so he could be born with disabilities, whatever, he can't do any work, so he's completely, his monetary value is zero. Nevertheless, how do I know he can eat Truma? Because he's the Eved of a Kohen, Talmud Lomer, Yelid Bais. He's not in the same category as Kinyan Kasper, because he ain't worth nothing. Yeah, but he's still a Yelid Bais. That's what the Torah says, Yelid Bais, Mikol Mekoyim, regardless of what the situation is. Once he's born in the house of the Kohen, he eats Truma. Okay, the Dayan and the Yoimer, still after that I would say, a Yelid Bais. So from that we learn that if he's born in the house of the Kohen, Bein Sheyesh B'Shava Kesef, Bein Shein B'Shava Kesef Oichel. We just showed that the word Yelid Bais teach you that even if the guy born in the house of the Kohen is worth nothing, he is still allowed to eat Truma. Yeah? But now what about the other way around? What about if he buys a guy and then the guy's worth nothing? Kinyan Kaspi. If he buys a guy and then the guy has an accident and is now worth zero. Yeah, you would say, Yesh B'Shava Kesef, as long as the guy's worth something, that he's called Kinyan Kaspi, he's Oichel, he can eat Truma. Ein B'Shava Kesef, if something happened to him and he's no longer worth anything financially, is Ein Oichel. So you would say, therefore, he cannot eat Truma. Talmud Leimar, therefore, the Torah puts them together. Kinyan Kaspi, if you lead basic to tell you that the rules apply the same to both. Ma Yelid Bais, so now we're learning the other way, but the backwards. Yeah, we're learning out the din of the guy who was purchased from the guy who was born an Eved Koyin. Ma Yelid Bais, just like a guy who was born as an Eved Koyin. Afal Pishein is Shavar Klum Oichel. Even though he was born worth monetary value zero, he's allowed to eat the Truma. Is Af Kinyan Kaspi. So therefore, even if you purchased an Eved, and for some reason, Afal Pishein is Shavar Klum, even though now he's now worth zero, is Oichel, he can eat the Truma. Okay, that's the Brisa. What's it got to do with anything? We asked a question about can you sell the futures on the Goring Knas, and we started talking about Truma. So what's got to do Kasha mit Borscht? And it says, the Gemara explains, Ve'isal kadaitech, if it would enter your mind, that ha'evet shemachir rabbi l'knas, if he sells a future on the farm, which would happen if the ox gored the Eved, is machor, if that works, is, so therefore, how can you have an Eved whose monetary value is zero? You could always sell a future. They call it writing a future, right? You could write
the goring value of the
Yeah, Evids. The goring value, because a disabled Eved who can't work, who has no sort of work, the employment market is worth zero, but because the knas is a flat rate, regardless of what the Eved's worth,
you can still get caught.
Is even a completely disabled Eved who's worth nothing as an employee. But if he gets gored, he's still worth $30.
Insurance value.
Yeah, insurance, that's right. So therefore, mi'ika avda, is it possible to have an Eved, the lem is dab on the knas, so that you could sell for a knas? So there's no such thing as an Eved who's not worth anything. The Brisa keeps going on about this Eved is worth zero. If it would be true that you could sell a future on the gore value, then there's no such thing as an Eved is worth zero. Answers the Gemara, ain. Yeah, you could have one. What's an example of an Eved who's got zero value? Ika Eved Trefa. If he's a Trefa, what's a Trefa? Trefa is a... He's got some... Yeah, but he doesn't have to be dead. He can be someone who has got such a terminal illness, either he's been mauled, or he's got internal injuries, or something's happened to him, and he's not going to live. Yeah, so the din is that... Bechlal, the din is that if someone murders a Trefa, he's not chayiv, because the guy's going to die anyway.
Gavro Ktilo, he's a dead
man
walking.
The guy's a dead man walking. Yeah, so this Eved, if an Eved is on, he's terminally ill, yeah, so then he gets gored by the ox, there's no 30 bucks. Because even though it's a flat rate, but it has to be a guy who's going to live. Yeah, but if a guy's already dead, just waiting for the machine to turn off, yeah, but he's really dead, then he's not a, then there's no 30 bucks. So you can have a slave who's worth zero, because if he's disabled, and he's disabled in such a way that he's not going to live, he's terminally ill, so then he's worth zero. So that would be the case. So the Gemara says, 1 minute. The Gemara assumes we're talking about a guy who's terminally ill, but not necessarily disabled. You can have a guy who's got an internal disease, whatever, but is still able to do something. So therefore the Gemara says, 1 minute, just because it's a treifa, he could still be worth something, because v'hachazil ha-mekim kamei, he can pour him a cup of tea. He can still do some work, some service. So the Gemara answer is that he's not only a treifa, but he's a manuvel u'mukashchin. He is disgusting and afflicted with boils, so he can't even do that. So he cannot do anything, and he's going to die. So then he's worth zero. So we don't prove anything about the knas. So we're 0 for 2 today. We didn't prove anything about whether you can eat truma, and we didn't prove anything about whether you can sell the future on the goring value. All right, let's try something different, because we're not doing well with that story. So let's go on the other one. Let's go back to the guy who's a 50-50. Yeah? We started with the Eved, or the Mishnah started with the guy who was half Eved, half free. So let's go back on that one. Yiboyelohu, the question is, so we said in the Mishnah, clearly, he's not allowed to marry a full-blown Jewish lady, yeah, because half of him is a slave, and a slave's not allowed to marry a normal lady. But what happens if he did? Yeah, so he went ahead and he gave kiddushin. He went up to this lady, and he says, Ramakadashasli, and the rabbi didn't know any better, and no one knew anything, so everything else was done kosher, except that it turns out that he was half a slave. Is mahu, is what is going to be the story here. Is he half married? Because half of him is a ben chayrin. So we say he's not allowed to do that in the first instance. But if he did, is half of him married to her or not? Is im timtza loymar, if you will try to answer me by saying that a ben Yisrael sha'amal abas Yisrael, what happens if a normal guy says to a normal girl, hiskachi lechetziai, yeah, marry half of me. Yeah, so that's a similar sort of thing, you would think. Yeah, because half of the Eved is okay, half of this guy is okay. So what happens if a guy goes under the chuppah and he says, "Hareya mekudeshes lechetziyai, marry half of me." Yeah, is that works? Mekudeshes. The halacha is that works. Then they're married. Yeah. Why is it so? So there he says that's different. Well, the chazya lekula, he can marry all of her. And therefore, what's he saying? What do you mean, can marry all of her? What's he saying, marry half of me? What he means by that is that you only get rights to half of me. And if I want, I'm going to marry another woman, because polygamy was permitted. So therefore, he says, I can marry a second wife. So when he says, marry half of me, what he means is, you get to be...
You're entirely married, but only...
You're married. Not exclusively. You're married, but you're only 50% in control. You can only nag me 50% of the time.
Mondays, Tuesdays,
Wednesdays. Nagging rights is only half the time, right? So there, that's why it's Mekudeshes. Abraha, but here, the guy who's a half a slave, it's not the pshat that he's saying, you know, you're marrying half of me because of the other half, because I'm going to marry someone else. It means he can't marry. He's not allowed to marry this guy is not suitable for marriage altogether. She can't marry all of him, so maybe it doesn't work. And to say that she's married to the half that's free. Well, maybe she's not married at all. So therefore, you can't necessarily prove it from that. And if you'll try to prove it the other way. Let's say the other way around. The guy goes up to the woman and he says, I want to marry half of you. Is then, that doesn't work. Yeah, because he can't say, I mean that you can marry another husband if you want, because a woman can't marry two husbands. Yeah, so when he says, I want to marry half of you, then he's just talking baloney, because there's no such thing. What does it mean? And therefore, it doesn't work. So therefore, so you might try to prove from that, aha, so that's the same as the Eved, when only half of him, it doesn't work. So the Gemara says it doesn't prove anything, because Shir Bikinyonli, when the guy goes to the woman and says, I only want to marry half of you, he's not doing a proper marriage, because he left half of her out. Abraha Eved, Lashir Bikinyonli, this Eved did whatever he could. Yeah, he was marrying her, full stop. Halachically, he's got an issue that the slave part of him can't marry. That's a separate point. But he, whatever is able to marry, married. So it's not the same thing as when he says only half the woman. So we can't prove from either of these precedents what will be the halacha over here. Is my, what's the answer? Is Toshima? Let's look at this one. If the ox, we're back to the ox. If the ox killed somebody who was a half Eved and a half Ben Chayrin. So what we learned already yesterday, so what does he do? We said, you know, we said that he, even though when he's working, he works one day for himself and one day for the master, but when the principal comes into play, because the guy's been killed, then each one gets half, the owner gets his half, and it's in the form of a knas, and the Eved gets his half in the form of his yorshim, who get the value, yeah? And this is a question that Rashi promised us we would come to, is the question is, if it's impossible for the guy who's a 50-50 Eved to get married at all, is Yorshim in Ole? How can he have inheritors? Yeah, he's not married, so he's an Eved, he's got no relatives, he's got no pre-existing relatives, and he's got no kids. So by ipso facto, he's got no one. He's got no Yorshim. So what do you mean, Chatzikur for the Yorshim? This proves that he can get married. That means he didn't, because the ox, just like if the ox gored a treifa, he doesn't pay the fine. If an ox gored a healthy person and made him into a treifa, even though he's not dead, he's officially dead, and therefore he gets the fine. Oh my Yorshov, so what does that do with your inheritors? It means nafshi. It's a chalein. He's still alive.
He's still alive enough to get paid.
He's alive enough to get paid, so the money goes to him. It's Omar Rava. Rava says back, stay chubas bedover. I got two answers against you, Rabbi de Barahava. Chada, the Yorshov Ketani. First of all, it says Yorshov. If it means give the money to him, it wouldn't say give the money to his inheritors. That's too crazy. V'oid, and furthermore, Koyferhu. What happens if you kill somebody? If you kill a Ben Chayrin, then you pay. If an ox kills a Ben Chayrin, he pays koifer. That's what it's called when he pays the value of the guy. And a koifer, Yomri Shlokish koifer, Mr. Malachamisa. He's only chayv koifer if the guy dies. Making him a treifer doesn't make it. You don't pay koifer anyway. It's only once he dies he pays koifer. So it must be that he has Yorshim. Yeah, lechayra. Ella, my Rava, no, we still can't prove it, because it could be that when it says half of it goes to the Yorshim, what it means is Roy Lita of Yainloy. It means if there would be Yorshim, they would take. That means in theory, because half is to the master and half is to the slave, and the slave's dead, so whoever inherits his estate would get it. The fact is, there's no one to inherit his estate, but it means in theory, if there would be somebody, they would get it. That's what it means.
It's enough that the government could take inheritance tax off.
I wonder if you wrote a will, you know. I mean, halachically, that doesn't really work as a will, though, does it?
Why? Because it's inevitable.
Well, there's an estate, so whoever's entitled to the estate gets the. You can make a Yerush Pliny. If the Eved wrote a will and made Yorshim.
For the half,
does he's a Ben Chayrin, so he's got property.
Throw in another element. Let's say the Eved happens to be a Ger, and then you have the issue of Nichsei a Ger.
An Eved can't be a Ger.
An
Eved Meshucher.
A Ger Tzedek.
He is.
Who now is sold into Avdus.
No, we're talking about Eved Kanani.
Oh, Eved Kanani.
No, but you're right. But even a Ger Tzedek, even a Ger who has got no Yorshim, if he writes a will, Yerush Pliny, then it works, no? So, anyhow. So, but he didn't do it. Omar Rava. Rava says, Geshem Shem Akadish Chatzi Isha Enam Mekadeshes, just like a person who tries to marry half a woman, like we said, is not Mekadeshes. Kach Chetze Shikha Chatzi Beschirin. Similarly, a woman who's half a maid and half a free is Shanis Katsha, and she tries to get married. En Kiddush Shei Kiddush, and that marriage does not take any effect.
The same thing is, what happens if you've got an Avedid who buys half of himself back somehow? Kind of a shift to Knan is because he's a half.
He's half Ben Chayrin.
That's right. Same
he's
idea.
Stuck. It's the worst.
He's stuck for shift to Knan.
Better to be all one or all the other.
He can marry a Bas Chayrin though.
What, the Chatzib?
Oh, yeah, he can.
Never Ivri. Never Ivri is a normal Jew. He's like an employee. Darash Rabba Bar Rav Huna.
Can he be? Can he make a? What do you call it? He has to make a kinyan as well.
And never did he can.
That's
only by never can. Darash Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Kishem Shemekadesh Chatzis. So he said the same thing as Rabba. Kishem Shemekadesh Chatzis Yishen. Because that is like someone who marries half a woman is not married. Kach Chetzis Shicha V'Chatzis Baschei, which is Kach Yishen. Because that is a woman is a half slave, half free, is cannot get married. Zamal Rav Chizda. So Rav Chizda said to Rabba Bar Rav Huna, "Me Dami, is it the same?" Hasam Shir Bikinyone. When he says to the woman, like we just said before, when he says to a woman, "I want to marry half of you," so he didn't acquire what he was supposed to acquire, so that's what doesn't work. But Hacha, when she's half a slave, so whatever's available, he purchased the whole thing. Lashir Bikinyone, so maybe so it works. So he says it does work if he marries the free half of the woman. So that's what Rav Chizda said to Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Is Ukim Rabba Bar Rav Huna Amoira Alei? Is Rabba Bar Rav Huna called back the Amoira, the guy who is the announcer, whose job was to relate whatever he said to the masses in the public announcer. Children? Yeah, but he also called Amoira from the word Amira, because he says loud what the other guy's saying. The Meturgim explains it.
He's a shir also.
No, the Meturgim, you can have Meturgim. Chutzpah's a Meturgim.
Yeah,
it's the same thing as far as I know. V'dorash, and he said, first of all, he said, look, he quotes the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, this michshel, this stumbling block is under your hand. In other words, I made a mistake. A person does not get to the bottom of Divrei Torah unless you first make a mistake. So I made a mistake, and by making a mistake, I was set right, and now I'm going to set right what I said. That afal pi, that on the contrary, even though Sha'omru, Hamakadach Chatzi Isha and Hamakadach, even though he marries half a woman, he's not married, Avachet Shicha Vachet Baschair, and it's Kacha Kedushah Kedushin. But if she's half maid and half free, and she got married, it does work. My timer, what's the reason? Balhasam Shir Bikinyoni. When he marries half a woman, he left aside some that he could have been Kaina, and therefore it doesn't work. Abrahacha, when he marries the woman who's half free, half slave, Lo Shir Bikinyoni, he did not leave aside anything that he could have married. Okay, so therefore he says it's good. Now comes Rav Sheshes. Omer Rav Sheshes, Keshem Shemekadosh Chatzi Isha Nemekadoshes. He goes back and ignores the whole Rav Chizda thing. And he says that someone, just like someone who married half a woman is not married. Yeah, so therefore he goes back to the same like Rav and Rabbi Ravullah. He doesn't accept the argument of Rav Chizda. But then he goes further. And he says, if a person will whisper to you that you're wrong. You know why you're wrong? How do I know that you can't have a woman who's half slave, half free, and she gets married? Because you'll tell me the case of the Shivcha Charufa. And the Brisa says, what's the definition? The Torah, Parsha Kedoshim, talks about the Shivcha Charufa, which we mentioned before. What is the definition of a Shivcha Charufa? In a woman who's half free, half slave, Hamoresis Levet Ivri. And she's married to an Evet Ivri, because an Evet Ivri is allowed to marry both a free person and a slave. So he can marry both halves of her, and she's married. Yeah, is Alma Basis Rusahi. So we see that she can get married. Yeah, so if he can marry both halves of her, then so he'll say if he can marry both halves of her, is Alma Basis Rusahi. That means that the woman who's a half a slave and half free can get married. She can get married to an Eved Ivri, I'll call upon him, but at least she can get married. So what are you telling me? What are you telling me she can't get married? Is a Moir Loi. So whoever whispers that in your ear, sell him Klachet Rabbi Shmuel. Go listen to what Rabbi Shmuel said. Shehu Eimer, Rabbi Shmuel says, that he's talking about a full. He's not talking about a half a slave and a half a free. He's talking about a shicha knanis mamish, a full 100% slave, hamoreses levet ivri, and she is married to an evet ivri. Because that's normal. 1 minute. Mureses implies proper kiddushin. V'shivcha knanis basis rusa, can a slave, a maid, have a proper erusin? How would you explain what Rabbi Shmuel says? That the words mu'ureses doesn't really mean mu'ureses. It's a colloquialism. My mu'ureses, mi'ucheres. I mean, she's designated for him. De facto, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. So that's what Rabbi Shmuel explains over there. So just like Rabbi Shmuel says that in his shita, it's hachanami, you're diet from the word mu'ureses. Hachanami, my mu'ureses, mi'ucheres. It means a designated. Yes, an Eved Ivri can be designated for a woman who's half shivcha, half bas chayrin, but it doesn't mean there's erisin. There's no marriage there. Okay. Yeah, or half of, in this case, half of what's still the ball. Let's say she married Ruvain, then ishtachara, and then she got freed. The chazor is a chizdel shitasa that the marriage works. Yeah, so she's married. She's married to Reuven, and then she got then the other half of her got freed, and yeah. And then she marries Shimon, who's the brother, who's the brother of Reuven. So Reuven married her half free, half slave. Shimon married her full free. And then guess what? Meshach Shneim, they both died. So now what happened? So there's Yibum, now there's Levi. Yeah, is Misyabem is the Levi? We say she can do Yibum with Levi. There ain't any Kerebo. Turn the page, and we don't say Eisha Shnei Mesim that she's the wife of two brothers, because the din is that if there's a Zika from one brother, that's when Yibum takes a place, when she was attached to one brother. If she's attached to two brothers, for example, if one brother died and the second brother did Mimer, so there's an attachment there, and then he died as well, there's no Yibum. So you'll tell me over here that she's attached to Reuven and Shimon, and therefore there should be no Yibum. I'll tell you that there is, because Manavshach. Because either way you look at it, I Kiddushin the Reuven Kiddushin, if I'm right in my Shitter of Chizda, that when she married Reuven, she's married. So she's married already to Reuven. It's therefore Kiddusha the Shimon is love Kiddushin. So therefore, when Shimon married her, when Reuven was still alive, yeah, Shimon didn't do Yibum. Shimon married her when Reuven was still alive. So she was already married to Reuven. So that second marriage is nothing. And therefore, she's only the wife of Reuven, so Levi can do Yibum. V'i Kiddusha the Shimon Kiddushin, if Shimon's marriage, the only way Shimon's marriage could work is if Kiddushin Reuven love Kiddushin, if Reuven's Kiddushin is garnished.
If she, while Reuven is still alive, and yeah, she has Shimon, isn't she Mazanat as well as Eshishin?
They were sin. So maybe they didn't have any relations, whatever. Itzmar, we'll try one more. She married Reuven, and then the other half was freed. And this time this Shimon is not a brother, this one we're talking about, Lavdavka, a brother. Yeah, just someone else, yeah? Rabbi Yosef, Bar Chama, Amar, Rabbi Nachman, Poka Kedusha Rishon. The second one dissolves the first one, because the Shichrur of the other half dissolves the first marriage. That's right. Rav Zeira, Amar, Rabbi Nachman, Gomer Kedusha Rishon. On the contrary, as soon as she's free, it doesn't dissolve the half that was there. On the contrary, it completes the half that wasn't there. Amar, Rav Zeira, and Rav Zeira says, Kavu Sei Didi Mistavra, it's logical that I'm right. When you have this case, so there's a korban osham, but there's no chiyuv misa, even though she's married in inverted commas, and a guy lives with a married woman is normally chayuv misa, but in this case there's no death penalty. Why? Because she wasn't freed, because half of her is still a slave. That means he's saying the same woman, when she gets freed, is yumsu, then there is a death penalty. That means that the marriage is now completely 100% consummated, and therefore someone who now has adultery with her is going to be chayuv misa. Oh my life, if you stop? No, stop. Okay. I'm trying to.